Hello and welcome to The Limit of Genius, episode 9. My name's Luke, I make YouTube videos. On the line with me is Level 2 Judge Grant David and Cardboard Trader Simon Wright. You both alright?
Yeah.
Tired.
Yeah, well, at least you've got an excuse. I'm tired for no real reason. Bit of a sleepy day today. I've just had dinner as well, so I'm feeling very, very lethargic. So we're going to kind of muddle on as best we can.
You got to have dinner. Just rub it in more, don't you?
I know, living the high life of not having two newly born children. But no, in the episode today, we're just going to kind of talk a little bit about Hour of Devastation in a very kind of broad sense, talk about our pre-release experiences. Grant's got a brew that he's going to have a little chat about later as well.
It's silly.
Silly, excellent. As well as a new little segment that I have for today's show, test it out, see how we get on with that as well, for a bit of a giggle. So, fasten your seatbelts. Okay, Grant, first of all, what have you been up to this week in Magic?
Not very much, actually, to be honest. I've not been playing Magic as much, spending a bit more time with Warhammer at the moment as Simon.
Yeah, we did.
Woo! So we're going to talk about that. I've been looking a lot at stuff, and I think I touched upon it last week. I've kind of made the decision, at least maybe for like a block or two, to kind of come out standard for a bit and focus more on modern and possibly actually legacy. I think we talked a couple of episodes ago again about someone maybe starting a proxy legacy kind of thing near us, which would be quite cool. So at the moment, I've just been kind of looking at the new cards and looking at them with sort of modern lenses on. Kind of difficult for me to get into the spin off. So yeah, as a result of that, I haven't been doing any pre-releases. So I haven't done since Born of the Gods, I think. Maybe before that. Dragon's Maze, actually. As a result, I haven't really been doing much with Hour of Devastation yet.
You'll be pleased to know then, Grant, as it's a modern season, the shop's switching their Monday night schedules from just the first Monday of the month being modern to actually every other Monday being modern.
Excellent. When's that start?
That starts from next week. So the 17th will be modern, and then every other week from then on. For the next 2 months is a test period to see how it goes.
Because that's the thing. Like, I quite like playing modern at Dice Saloon like once a month. I'm always tempted to take a deck that will do at least like fine, like living end, but at the end of the day, I do want to just test some stupid decks. But if that's every other week, I don't really mind losing, say, you know, a couple in a row or whatever, if it's just to test something silly. So that's good.
That's it. We put on more events so you can play worse.
Excellent. That will fit right in with Luke at the moment.
Ouch. So... Although saying that, my recent constructive performance has been somewhat reasonable, having made top 8 at the PPTQ a little while ago, and then top 8 at an Axion event for Modern as well.
Both of these are Modern, yeah?
No, one was Standard, one was Modern. I talked about it a little while ago on one of the other episodes about the PPTQ one, that was Black White Zombies, so I'm not going to go into that again. But yeah, the recent one was Modern, and it wasn't a PPTQ, but it was just a comprel event that Axion put on. There's this store up in Amersham, and they're quite famed for putting on obscene prize support.
Yeah.
On this one, it was first place won a box of Modern Masters 2017, and then it was a pick out of 8 expeditions for everyone else in the top 8. So I managed to walk away with an Arid Mesa for coming 6th, which was pretty sweet. There was all sorts of like, well, the other thing he did was actually quite interesting. He does these like little playoff events as well. So the next 8 people down from the top 8 get their own top 8 for another expedition. So he called it like the Platinum Chop Top 8. Oh, what was that?
I'm still here.
Simon?
Simon's dead.
Shit.
Well, this is the last podcast, guys. Simon's dead.
Well,
it's been good.
That was weird. Sounds like he's struggling.
Hello.
What are you doing, Simon?
I lost my headset.
Okay.
What happened? What did I miss?
You died, apparently. But it's fine because you're back, so that's okay.
I am missing an earpiece. Where did that go?
It's not in your ear, is it?
Oh, no. It's fine. I'll survive.
Yeah, so they had like what they called a platinum top 8. First 8 people after 8th place, and then the next 8 people after 16th, whatever it is. I'm not doing maths. They also had a top 8 playoff as well for another expedition. She called like the chocolate top 8. She's giving it silly names.
What?
Yeah. What was really cool was it meant people played on and stuck around for the day, which was really clever.
That's good.
Yeah. So you had people sort of in the middle tables. They were still actually playing for something. So they weren't just sort of thinking, oh, I'll just get a bit of more testing or whatever. They actually were playing and it was pretty cool. And I think a couple of people on my team that didn't make top eight, they were still playing on, and one of them managed to get an expedition. And there was boosters for anyone with a positive record as well. So, yeah, it was pretty sweet. It was a really nice balance between a competitive atmosphere, but also kind of just playing for fun as well, because obviously everyone, you know, you want to win, but it also meant that if you weren't winning, or, you know, in that top eight cut, that you were still actually getting quite a lot of enjoyment out of the event, because you weren't just like, oh, whatever.
What did the winner get?
First place got a box of Modern Masters 2017. So, yeah, I took Affinity to the event. It's the first time I've really played it in any kind of serious way. I played against it a few times. It was really, really interesting. Affinity is really good. It's not a new deck by any means, but it was really, really pretty crazy. I won basically every game that I played except two. One, I lost to the guy who won it overall, and it was an Affinity mirror match.
Ow.
So I was not really surprised. I lost that. And the other one was against Death Shadow. And that's a very good deck. Person I played against is very good as well. So I wasn't unhappy, considering the first time I'd basically taken to a tournament.
When you lost to Affinity, would you say he just got better draws, or would you say that you lost because he was obviously far more experienced at Affinity than you?
So game one, he was on the play, and he basically curved into Springleaf Drum into Stuff into Master of Aetherium,
sure,
Outbound Ravager, and all I had was a Vault Scourge and a Ravager, and he was just sort of beating face. Well, I'm just going to be chomping. So
did you come up against any hate at all? Like you said, you didn't lose any games. So did no one get it out or get it out fast enough or what?
So against the Affinity player, I didn't really see any sideboard hate from him. Just the first game, he steamrolled me. Second game, I made a play mistake, and sure, then against Death Shadow, I didn't see any other hate. I think they've kind of, their main deck does what it does.
But like against decks with white, say for instance, did you not see it, like any Stony Silence?
I didn't play against a single Stony Silence all day, which was really hours. Nice. Yeah.
But do you reckon people are not sideboarding Affinity hate as much because they're expecting Death Shadow so much? Or
quite possibly, and it's just dumb. And I think,
I always put it in. Like, I don't really know many Affinity players, so I never get to use it. But I always make sure it's in there because I won't just lose.
Yeah. I think you kind of have to, because if you don't, then you play against it, then it's just really difficult to then try and fight that. Yeah. Other decks can sometimes play sweepers. So like if you've got Valakut, for example, they can just play Pyroclasm or Anger of the Gods, and that can ruin your day. So,
how does Death Shadow do against Affinity generally?
I overheard someone say that they think it's fairly even, and I would potentially agree with that. I think, bearing in mind the massive caveat to this is I haven't tested the matchup all that much, so I would, in this initial sort of experience I had, I would say it's ever so slightly favoured towards Affinity, and the reason being is if you can just, they don't play sweepers, Death Shadow don't tend to sweepers as far as I'm aware, so if you can just flood the board, you can just overwhelm, you can just get like a critical mass of threats, and all the discard and removal that they want isn't necessarily going to stop you from like killing stuff. And also there's the whole cranial plating on your man lands you know, they can't kill everything, and Etch Champion can be really good against them if you're careful about getting Metalcraft.
I noticed Storm seems to be making a bit more of a resurgence at the moment because of Barrel Maker, apparently just more consistent or something.
Yep.
And I know last time I played Modern a couple of weeks ago, I just lost. That was the only thing I lost to in a four-round tournament, just Storm, just too much. And I was playing that deck, the double Blood Moon Planeswalker thing. It doesn't have any removal at all because, you know, generally Blood Moon does the job, but of course against Storm, Blood Moon doesn't do anything.
No.
So if I want to play Modern, particularly obviously if I'm going through Dice League on a, you know, every 2 weeks basis, I need to play a deck that has some kind of counter spells or something. And I'm kind of torn at the moment. Like, if I could play any deck in Modern at the moment, I'd either want to play Death Shadow, just because it seems quite interesting, and I'm only missing two Snapcasts on Aegis, or Scape Shift, but I always like Scape Shift, and I have no pieces for it, so it'd be really expensive, but I always do like Scape Shift as a deck.
Yeah. I think Storm can be really tricky. It's just, again, one of those decks where, you know, if you tap out, you can just lose.
I'd never want to play it, but I just need a Modern deck of mine that I can play that doesn't lose to Storm.
Counter Magic would help.
Yeah, the thing is though, there's not many mod decks I play that have blue in. Yeah. Like the decks I have played in the past, normally with white hate, it's fine. Yeah. Because like Affinity, you know, you cover that with it. But against Storm, particularly now that it can go off quite consistently turn two, turn three now, the Rule of Laws or whatever else I would put in normally that is white against Storm, which doesn't, it's not quick enough anymore.
No.
I think I have to have a deck with blue in. And I think the only way I'm going to do that and still be happy with the deck is either play, like I said, Death Shadow, or I had a few decks kicking around with Geist Saint Traff, which I really like as a card. Or there was that Spirit Tribal deck I did with Geist Saint Traff as well. That might be quite fun. So, yeah, if this modern thing's going to be a bit more regular, I might have to look at building myself a modern deck with blue in some way.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to the GP in Birmingham?
No, I don't think so. I think I'll just stick to playing, particularly if I'm going to do this regularly, just stick to playing different decks. That's, you know, that's why I wanted to play, get out of stand, just play modern, just do some fun stuff, just experiment with, well, basically why I still like Magic, just experimenting with all these different combinations effectively, not to play and win effectively.
Yeah. And Simon, what have you been up to this week?
Played in two pre-releases on Sunday. First one went well. Built a red-green deck featuring, is it Samit the Tested?
Oh, yeah.
It's quite good. I went 3-0 with that.
Nice.
Quite a fun deck to play. I didn't think it was that powerful, but it turned out to be pretty good. Samit didn't do much, though. I actually played it into a counterspell once just to get it out of my opponent's hand. It was weird building decks this time. Usually, when I'm opening the packs, I put them all into the different colours, keep the rares to one side, and the first one, just see my rares and see what colours they're in, then look at that to see if I can make something work with the best rares I've got. But this time, the first one I went to was to check my lands to see what deserts I had.
Yeah.
Because they were actually quite important.
Deserts are great.
I tried to make sure I played at least three in both my decks.
Yeah.
Yeah, to make sure that you hit it consistently. Just to get the extra effect of some of your creatures.
Yeah, definitely.
I had a nice little combo with Endless Sands and Quarry Beetle, which I didn't notice until around round two when I spotted it on the table. So, but Endless Sands is a desert. You can tap it and pay two to exile target creature you control.
Yep.
And then tap it and pay four to sacrifice Endless Sands, return each creature card exile with Endless Sands to the battlefield under its own control. And Quarry Beetle lets you, when it enters the battlefield, you may return target land from your graveyard to the battlefield. So you just keep heading to the recurring Endless Sands back. It was great.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so that was great. Went 3-0. I was feeling quite chuffed. And the afternoon one, the tiredness kicked in. I'm going to blame it on that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even put my deck together. I was so disheartened that the pool was just terrible. I opened the Crested Sunmere, which was awesome. But then the rest of it was the jury with eyes open, the one that lets you get a Planeswalker. I had no Planeswalker. I then got God's Pharaoh's Gift, which is all right. More artifacts, Abandoned Sarcophagus, and Oracle's Vault. And I got a Hazoret's Favour and a foil Hazoret's Favour in the same pack. It was terrible. And I was so disheartened. I went, well, I'll try and put something together with the horse. And I went white blue in the end because I had the flying guy that gives all your tokens vigilance and flying.
Mm.
I thought, I'd love to have some indestructible flying horses with vigilance. So I tried to push that. And it worked quite well with God's Pharaoh's Gift as well, because I could make zombie tokens and give them flying visions as well. That was the plan. It never, ever came together.
No.
So it was just fell. As soon as the horse came onto play, it just got killed, and that was my only threat. The rest of the deck was just really weak flyers. Yeah, so it's quite. I went 0-3, and then I was glad to go home.
Yeah.
But I liked the set. It was fun. Lots of cool stuff was opened. One of my friends opened, in his prize packs for the first pre-release, he opened an Invocation Blood Moon and a Nicobolas. And then opened his second seal pool for the afternoon and opened an Invocation Sunder as well.
Jeez.
So yeah, he won Sunday. All of Sunday.
Must have been laughing.
I wasn't too happy.
No.
So my double Hazoret's Favour.
Oh, never mind.
But, yeah, no, it was fun. Everyone enjoyed the pre-release. I'm looking forward to draft. We've got draft on Friday and again on Sunday.
Nice.
I hope you play all those.
Were there any standout cards for you in Limited that you sort of maybe either didn't kind of think about before or you knew was good but it was reaffirmed? Like anything particularly powerful or good?
Yeah, the Quarry Beetle.
Yeah.
I only used the trick with the Endless Sand, but I was thinking about the other deserts as well, which have tricks attached to them. You know, the ones you liked last week, Grant, we were talking about coming to play, don't come into play tack, but they have a little trick attached to them as well. So you can keep reoccurring those as well.
Wait, which one?
There's a cycle of them, one for each colour. So the green one is they're the oases, I think.
Yeah.
So the green one is.
Yeah, they're nice though. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's quite fun. What else is good? The Locust God annihilated me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, I know what I liked. Really odd one, but again with the deserts, really good. It was
The snake.
No, it's even more obscure. Wall of Forgotten Pharaohs.
That is so obscure. I don't know what that is.
It's a 2-mana wall with defender.
Love it.
0/4. So I just put it in just to hold the ground a bit. I was short of a couple of low drop creatures. I wanted to ramp up into my bigger guys. But if you own a desert, you can tap it to deal 1 damage to target player.
Dragons of Tarkir? I think you paid black to make it do 1 damage.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot better. Oh, the 1/0/5. What colour is it?
Colourless, so it goes in any deck. But yeah, so the deserts do now have impact.
Or a desert in the graveyard, that's cool.
Yeah. Which is really nice because obviously you've got the tap cycler ones. Is that I did one pre-release online, and I also, like echoing everything you said, like I played as many deserts as I could, 3 tap ones and 2 untap ones, and they were great. And I had the Hydra that gets bigger if it's got a desert in the bin or a desert in the battlefield, and I had that wall as well. So deserts do seem like they're actually really relevant. I also had that card that when it enters the battlefield, you enchant and a creature your opponents control, and then it taps it if you control a desert, and then it won't untap and you untap it.
There's very limited mana fixing unless you're in green, and even still then not loads.
I don't know, I feel like there's quite a lot.
You've got Manalith is back, which is interesting to see. I haven't seen that for a while.
Oh, yes. I did actually know that was in the set, because I sat down and saw someone opposite me. Yeah.
I like the art. And it's good that it's common. Sometimes artifact mana fixing is like uncommon. It's just not very useful.
Yeah, but if a desert goes past in your colour, or it's a colourless one, you'll probably take it if you haven't picked up a few already. I think they are worth picking up a couple.
Mm.
Keeping your eyes open for them if they're in your colour. You wouldn't take a random off colour one, I don't think.
No. In addition about Hour of Devastation, weirdly enough, you mentioned him already, was the Locust God. Just been doing some practice games in Magic Online. I played against that already, and it's just absolutely disgusting. There was
because they've got the set all out again early as well.
Yeah. So I had a couple of games, and there was a point where like one guy main phased Glimmer of Genius to get two more points of hasty flyer damage. Things like that you don't expect. I was like, oh, great, they got haste. And I just completely forgot about the fact that they got haste as well. That card is a real thing, and really bad.
This is how tired I am. I went, so in my third round, I was playing against the Lakers God, and it was game 3. And he played it out again. Like, I've got the answer for it. It's fine, because of course in the first game I killed it and returned to his hand. Like, I'm not going to fall for it again. And places Desert's Hold on it. Basically, you know, it's just can't attack, can't block, and can't draw abilities. Of course, every time he drew a card, he was still getting
1/1s. Oh.
So, yeah, really fluffed out.
Oops.
Not my best moment.
Okay, so Hour of Devastation, real world impact.
Like, price-wise, there's a new set that isn't much at all. Like, I looked on MTG stocks, and like nothing above like $10 apart from like 2 or 3 cards.
Wow. You think this is all just Expeditions?
No, those are obviously money, but some Planeswalkers, I'm trying to load out now. But other than that, it's like no value at all.
I don't know if I mind that though, because I mean, standards seem
to... I don't mind that. I think there's a lot of people at the moment that are in the same with me, just coming out of standards until we get like a clean rotation of just like not banned stuff.
Yeah.
I'll wait for, you know, at least a few months kind of thing.
It is like...
There's nothing above $10 apart from Nicol Bolas if you exclude the Expedition.
Curious what your thoughts were, Simon, in particular, just because it's obviously great for people like Grant and me to reap the benefits of cheap cards, but...
Well, it is maybe not for Grant, maybe, because he's not too bothered about Standard, but if you're looking to play more competitive Standard, then it's not a great sign, because it basically suggests that there's not a lot good enough in there for Standard at the moment. That's what I've heard from a lot of players, that...
It's interesting.
There's not enough good cards in there. Nothing strong enough in the current standard environment. I'm not too sure on that. I'm not the best person to make that call. That's what I've heard so far, which makes sense why there's not much demand for a lot of the cards, hence the prices.
Okay.
So I think there will be cards. But then on the other side, there will be some that make it into standard. And that means there's a lot of them at the moment that are currently priced at 50p a pound that will suddenly be 5-6 pound rares. So good opportunities for those speculators out there that want to make a quick turnaround. But you have to pick which ones, though.
I don't know. There are powerful cards, but I kind of believe it to be a little bit about perception as well. Like, I still think there are powerful things going on in standard.
I think there's a lot of powerful cards in there. Maybe not more for commander than standard. But I think the real reason that the price is low, that the demand isn't really there, is more because we're in the summer season and the focus is more on modern, not on standard. Hence why there's no real demand for a lot of the cards at the moment.
That makes sense.
People's confidence in standard has been knocked after another banning. Yeah, and that will affect price. Eventually, cards will go up. You follow Alpha Investments the same as I do. You know, the price of the box, the price of the cards open has to, the price of the box has to justify the price of the cards you open. I've got a bit of the wrong way. I'm too tired to create that. But yeah, so if the price of the cards aren't worth it, people like myself and the big shops will stop opening as many boxes. Supply won't be there when the demand for the card does rise. So therefore, the price of the cards will increase further anyway when the card does become popular. In that case, more boxes will then be opened to suppress the price again. So it's just waiting at the moment. Demand's not there. Give it the first PPTQ results or, you know, local GP results and get everyone's interest flared again in standard. And you'll see prices start to rise.
Okay.
Nickel Bolas won't now probably drop.
Yeah.
I noticed that he was opened a lot more frequent in the pre-release packs.
I've always noticed that since Origins. I noticed there were so many Planeswalkers in pre-release packs. And I think in pre-releases since, there's always been a much higher tendency to open, like, important story cards.
Yes, I think there's definitely more of them planted. Some people argue same invocations as well.
I agree.
I'm not sure as much. Or if it's just that there's a lot of product opened in a small space of time in like one day in the same location that you think there's more. I mean, you've got everyone opening six packs at a time plus their prizes. And they might do that two or three times over the weekend, times that by 20, 30 people, however big your pre-release is. It just seems like they're more being opened.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, I can believe either on that one. I know that's a really kind of bland answer, but I think there is a lot of hyperbole as well. Like, if you're sitting at home and you open a random prize pack, you're like, oh, I've got an invocation. Yeah, whatever. Whereas at pre-release, everyone's super hyped and...
Yeah.
Up straight away, yeah.
Yeah.
But over the whole weekend, I saw a Blood Moon, a Damnation and a Sunder be open. Those are the only ones I'm aware of. But that was only three out of a lot of packs. A double event on the Saturday, which I think had around 26 players. And that was a double event, so that was two pre-release packs per player. Four packs per player for prize support. And on the Sunday, three mini events. And they're quite busy as well, apart from the third one. The evening one's always a bit quieter. But, so that's three events, six packs per event, other two booster packs per event prize support. There's a lot of packs that are opening in a short succession. On the other side, though, I picked, by the end of the weekend, I had five Nicol Bolas's and one promo Nicol Bolas. So
your financial advice then is buy now.
Oh, well, definitely buy now. Apart from Nicol Bolas, it'll go down. But yeah, you can't really argue with the prices at the moment. I mean, usually prices are inflated before the set's released, but this isn't really the case. I mean, the Scarab God for less than $10 is pretty good. He's awesome. The third most expensive set is the second Nicol Bolas from the beginner's deck.
Oh, wow.
I like that if you go through all of the rares, the stuff that's worth money, you get down to sort of the 50 cent mark. Before you hit commons, horse token is in there for 26 cents.
What token?
Horse token, 26 cents.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
I mean, I think the gods will hold their value. There's cards like Hour of Devastation, I think, will go down. The demon will go down.
Oh, insect token is 40 cents.
Ramunet Excavator, I'm not too sure of.
Is that the Crucible of Worlds?
Yeah, on a stick.
On a stick, yeah. It's giving me problems because we've got draft day coming up. And it's unfortunately, that's also the promo.
yeah, I don't think he's going to be. He's not that value, is he, at all?
And at the moment, the pre-release one's like $20. So I don't know what that's going to do to demand for this tournament. We usually do it as more of a just a cheap beginner's tournament. Just turn up, have a draft, learn the set. There's going to be a lot of people just turning up just to get this promo by the looks of it.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure what to do about that yet.
What day is that again?
On an unrelated. It's Leech Burgundy's diary. It's on the Sunday.
This Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll probably won't be free, but that's pretty sweet though. I mean, that's a surefire way to suppress the value of the non promo version.
It's a good idea. The thing is though, like obviously Crucible of Worlds is quite a expensive card because it wasn't in many sets and it's relevant in Legacy, possibly Modern. I don't know. And obviously this guy's on a stick, like you said, a bit like Neighbours of the Moon. But if you're playing Legacy or Modern, surely you just go for Crucible of Worlds. Like you don't really go for a budget version. Generally, putting out the creature is quite a bad idea. It's not like Blood Moon where you want like more than four copies of this guy. So unless he's going to be super relevant in Standard, which I don't think he is, I don't see why he's that expensive unless I'm missing something.
No, he's expensive. A lot of people hype and go, it's Crucible Worlds on the stick. That's amazing. It's so much better than Crucible Worlds. It's on the stick. Blah, blah. And the fact is, we just said it's not. Crucible Worlds is better. It goes in every deck, any deck that wants to run it, because it's colourless.
It doesn't die to removal. So yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I don't know what idiots are saying that a version of Crucible of Worlds that dies to Lightning Bolt is better than the version that doesn't die to Lightning Bolt. I mean, that's just...
Like, what decks run Mates of the Moon and not Blood Moon? Literally none of them.
Yeah.
That's the argument.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a couple of those at the top will drop a bit. A $4 Planeswalker.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Before the set's even released. That's how little demand. I mean, that would usually be at least $20. If this was in the Amonkhet set, that'd be a $20 card.
Like Arlene Cord, because she's literally the same cost, and I think you know the last few sets have shown that green red really isn't a thing, so maybe that's why she's so cheap. But even Arlene Cord, like you said, like $20-$15 before the set was released, and then she just went down to obviously that price as well. But yeah, the set hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah. What you want to look at instead is the cards in the dollar range, the $1.50 range that have potential. So I'm looking at maybe Owl Revelation or
Pride Sovereign.
Maybe Pride Sovereign, probably not. One person I know is quite heavily invested on the new Manland.
Oh yeah.
Currently sitting, I think that's around a dollar rare at the moment. So a Manland for 2-3, but you have to have a land in your graveyard.
An X on it. I don't think I like that. If it was like discard a land card or a sacrifice a land, that's fine. But I don't like the fact that it gets rid of it permanently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what decks these are running where your lands are going into your graveyard, apart from Delirium decks. But
because it works well with Groundskeeper and that Crucible of the Worlds thing, but that's only if you can put graveyard back into your hand. If you exile them, you can't. So yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that, if I'm honest with you. Because I was looking at these lands ever since you sort of mentioned it in passing about Tron or Eldrazi strategies kind of getting a little bit of a boost. So I've been kind of trying to imagine a lot of these cards in Eldrazi, Tron, in Modern. And even then, where you're really leveraging and benefiting from having colourless mana or whatever, it's a struggle to actually make that card work, I think. Okay, then, so if there's no more about Hour of Devastation, then when we come back, we'll do Flavor Text game.
Oh, what?
What's your flavour? Basically... I'm going to read the flavour text of a card to you, and you have to guess what one it is. Okay.
Is the answer Beetle Bag Rider?
Yes. Does it have flavour text?
I'm so good at this game.
I can
tell you the flavour text of Beetle Bag Rider if you'd like.
Hang on, I'll put it. What put it in my hand somewhere. Oh, that's Rampaging Hippo.
Kind of the same, big beavers and hippos.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the flavour? I'm curious now. What is the flavour text I've got?
The ruin of the past is the topsoil of the future.
Oh,
so powerful.
3D, 5D.
Wow.
That's very philosophical cool. Beetle.
Very, yeah, it is quite deep, that little beetle.
It goes deep.
Okay, basically, I'm going to pit the two of you against each other. Whoever gets the most out of the ones that we get wins something. I don't know what that something is. Honour.
I don't need that.
I can't even remember the name of half the cards.
That's fine.
If you can describe it, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
So Simon, we're going to start with you. This is an easy one.
Oh, no.
And it is Ashes Can't Be Embalmed, Neheb, Initiate of Arncrop.
Oh, I know that one. That was from Amon Kett. I don't know the name of the card, though. I mentioned it in a book in one of our episodes.
You did?
No, I don't know.
Oh, dear.
He's an initiate of... Oh, I don't know who he is. I know. It's a red card.
Yep.
And that's all I've got.
Grant, do you know the answer?
I was just going to say Magnus Bray.
Boom.
No, it was, wasn't it? Ah.
It was. And I thought that was really unfair because you mentioned how much you liked the flavour text of that card. And I thought I was just giving you away a point there. No,
as I said, I'm going to be shit at this game.
Okay, Grant. Again, I think this is quite an easy one for you, but we'll go with it. And it is heavy light flooded across the landscape, cloaking everything in deep crimson.
Blood Moon.
Yeah, that was too easy. You had as much of a chance on your one there, Simon. But no,
that's the closest I'm going to get.
Okay, we'll go with this one. This is your other one, Simon. So, in Lorwyn's brief evenings, the sun pauses at the horizon long enough for a certain species of violet to bloom with the fragrance of mischief.
I don't know.
I know.
To bloom. Lorwyn. No.
You know the flavour text of this, but I never thought of this.
How do you know what the card is? You don't know the flavour text.
We'll see.
I'm going to pass.
Bitter Blossom.
Boom. Yeah. Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
See, I thought Lorwyn fairies.
Wow. Yeah, it's got the word bloom in it. So, I'm trying to give you clues. Grant. The Spark Mage shrieked, calling on the rage of the storms of his youth. To his surprise, the sky responded with a fierce energy he never thought to see again.
Spark Mage? I'm going to say, is it Electromancer?
There's a car called Electromancer?
You know, the music guy that makes stuff cheaper.
Oh, that guy, no.
Okay.
It's Lightning Bolt.
No, what was my guess? I was going to say Lightning Bolt.
Oh, were you actually?
No.
last two, Simon.
Yep.
I alone determine my destiny. I'll give you a clue because you've been struggling.
Hey, tell me what colour it is and how much it's worth.
Money or mana?
Money. Tell me how much money it's worth and what colour it's in.
Unfair,
it's blue and it's worth a decent amount. And I'll give you another clue. You won't have actually you'll have seen the card recently, but you won't have seen the flavour text.
Oh, that's a good one.
What? Why would I have seen the flavour? Who's hiding the flavour text from me?
Is it full art card then?
The flavour text is on a reprint.
Oh, Jason Mindsculptor?
No.
Is it Omniscient?
No, it's Force of Will.
Ah.
Last one for Grant then. I think you might get this one. The shadow of the candle looms tall, even as its light grows dim.
I want to say that candelabra card was worth
seeing. Yeah, I was thinking candelabra.
I don't think that had flavour text. I'm going to say the candelabra of Talmulera, whatever it's called, but I think that's wrong.
No. I'll pass it over to Simon, and because I feel like you might need the clue again. Half of the card name is in the actual flavour text.
Say it again.
The shadow of the candle looms tall, even as its light grows dim.
Death Shadow?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, got one.
Got one.
Yeah.
So, restored a bit of dignity there, but Grant clear winner. Right. Excellent. So, yeah. I tried to give ones there that actually had at least half a chance in the
well, yeah, quite obvious one. Well, not obvious, but, not obscure cards.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick, like, third edition commons and be like, guess that. I'll try and pick cards that actually either you will just know, like Magnus Bray, or you can kind of clue from the text. That was my little flavour text game. Thanks for playing. Prizes will be in the post. So the next thing we want to do is have a little chat about the deck, this crazy deck that you can't make up.
Yeah. So, to start off, it's based on the deck called Eggs, which, does anyone know what that is?
No. I should feel like
okay, I should. So, Simon, you're familiar with this deck at all?
I am aware of the name.
Okay,
is it a combo deck?
Yeah. So, there's a deck in Modern called Eggs, basically. that runs things that are like eggs, so like Chromatic Star, Chromatic Sphere, Conjurer's Bauble, Lotus Bloom, that sort of thing. Well, Lotus Bloom, not bad, not a good example of an egg, but things you crack open for mana, normally they're free. It actually runs Prophetic Prism from Kaladesh, actually. But generally, you run all these things, and then you run Fate's Reward, which was in Conspiracy, and it's another card as well, which is a 4-mana white card, and you return everything to the battlefield that was put into your graveyard this turn. So you make lots of mana, you keep doing this to make basically infinite mana, and then you either like cast an Emrakul or Banefire or something to kill them. I find that a bit boring, particularly because it's a bit like Storm, where you're doing a numbers game, where you're just gaining like a bit of mana, and then you keep doing it. This deck kills them by shuffling their library, is absolutely hilarious, and I just love it to bits because it uses, not only does it kill them with shuffling, but it uses one of the cards from Future Sight, which is a mechanic that has only been ever on one card, which is Gravestorm. So there's a card in Future Sight called Bitter Ordeal, which has the mechanic called Gravestorm, which is basically Storm, but rather than Storm from how many spells you cast, it's Storm from how many things have gone to the graveyard this turn.
Mm.
And basically it's kind of like Cranial Extraction. So you look through their library, you take one card from it and exile it. It's not copies, you just literally take one card. And then they shuffle their library, obviously. You then combine this with a card called Psychogenic Probe, which is a 2-mana artifact from Mirrodin, which no one will ever have seen before, which is basically whenever the opponent's library would be shuffled, they still shuffle it, but it also does 2 damage to them. So you put down this probe, you do the eggs thing, so you make loads of spheres, make loads of stars, crack them open, bring them back with face toward. You know, that's like 4 things in the bin. You then play the spell, bring them back, do it again, like 8, say, for instance. So that's 8 instances of something going to the graveyard. You then do Bitter Ordeal, so you look for a card in their library, you repeat that 8 times, so that's 9 times they shuffle the library, 9 times 2, 18 damage, you can do it more if you like, that kind of thing. It's ludicrous, silly, and killing the opponent by shuffling their library is just wonderful, and I want to play this deck.
Death by shuffling.
But yeah, it can kill them turn 3, turn 4.
Oh, blimey.
It's a combo deck. You can do it, because you technically got ramp because of Lotus Bloom. Which obviously, if you spend turn 1, you get that, you do Fate Reward. You bring them back, you get the mana, because all you need the mana for is, because Fate will pay for itself, because you'll do 4 things, get it back with 4 mana, then you'll have access to 4 mana again. All you need is 3 mana for Bitter Ordeal, and hopefully you've played Psychogenic Probe on turn 2 or something. But to go through the deck, it's got some land, it's got like 18. It's got 4 Chromatic Spheres, 4 Chromatic Stars, 4 Conjurer's Baubles, 2 Lotus Blooms, 2 Prophetic Prisms for some reason, 4 of these probes, obviously, the Psychogenic Probes. It runs Bitter Ordeal, the thing, the Gravestorm. It's got Gataxian Probe, which obviously means you'd have to change that now. It's got a card called Mana Season, or I don't know how you pronounce that, actually. It's a card from Kamigawa, which is red and 1. You can sacrifice as many lands as you want, and you add 1 colourless mana for each land you sacrifice. So again, if you're going to win that turn, it doesn't matter if you sacrifice all your lands.
Mm.
It's got Reshape, which you'll know. You sacrifice an artifact, you pay some extra mana, you search your library for an artifact, put that into play. So that's obviously, you use that for the probe. Serum Visions, it runs as well, and then it runs basically Fate Reward, and that's it. So eggs, recurrence, and this probe with the Gravestorm, and they die basically.
No spirit guides,
no, but I think actually editing this deck, if I was to play it now, because I haven't edited this deck since like 2 or 3 years ago, I'd probably replace the Cataxian probes with spirit guides, maybe.
Yeah.
That's not bad, but yeah, it's a very silly deck. And killing the opponent by shuffling the library. I would like to do that even if I lose every single other game. Even just slamming it down turn 2, and they're like, oh, I don't really want to fetch lands or cord for stuff now. That hurts. Stop that.
No, I like it. Does that have a sideboard?
Sideboard. I've got Disenchant, Engineered Explosives, Array, Pact, Negation, and Silence. I don't know why for each reason. Been a while since I've looked at this. Yeah. If anyone's interested in the deck list, if you look Scrambled Eggs, it's called, because eggs, but shuffling, so scrambled.
Yeah.
If you look at Scrambled Eggs deck in modern, hopefully you should find it, but yeah, it's eggs, but just with Psychogenic Probe and Bitter Ordeal.
That seems insane.
Yeah, it's one of my favourites out of the silly decks I've got, just from winning through means that you didn't think were even possible.
So we'll see you on Monday then, Grant.
I unfortunately don't have this deck. I need 2 Lotus Blooms and some other random stuff, but I think if modern's every other week, I might have to actually build this deck.
What do you need? Yeah.
It's not very expensive at all. Oh, actually, I say that this card from Future Sight, the Bitter Ordeal card, is $7. The great one with Gravestorm. Whether that's just because it's quite old or whether that's because
it's one of that kind.
This insanity, I don't know.
Lotus Blooms are quite expensive now as well.
Yeah, they're $12. But yeah, Bishraw Deal, $7, isn't it?
Probably just because it's unique.
Yeah, there's a few feature sites, cards like that.
Cool. So that is all for now from us. Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, give us some feedback on our Facebook page. You can search up Glimmer of Genius. Follow the group and keep up to date with whenever we are sending out podcasts. We can also be found on the MTG Cast network. That is mtgcast.com, as well as our own podcast website, which is glimmerofgenius.podbean.com. Also, if you're interested in even more Magic the Gathering content, then please check out my YouTube channel, Vincent Games, which you can find in the description below, or search up Vincent Games on YouTube. Once again, thanks very much for listening, and stay tuned for more.
All right, catch you later.
See you later.
See you later.
What's your flavour?